From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled The Privileges and Obligations of the Sons of God, part of a series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Victory Without Battle. The text is found in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Precious word, Jehovah himself will deliver his people in the greatness of his mercy. But he will not do it by the ordinary means. Men are slow to render to God the glory due unto his name. If they go to battle with sword and bow and win the victory, they ought to praise their God. Yet they do not, but begin to magnify their own right arm and glory in their horses and horsemen. For this reason, our Jehovah often determines to save his people without secondary means, that all the honor may be to himself alone. Look then, my heart, to the Lord alone, and not to man. Expect to see God all the more clearly when there is no one else to look to. If I have no friend, no adviser, no one at my back, let me be nonetheless confident if I can feel that the Lord himself is on my side. Yea, let me be glad if he gives victory without battle, as the text seems to imply. Why do I ask for horses and horsemen, if Jehovah himself has mercy upon me, and lifts up his arm for my defense? Why need I bow or sword, if God will save? Let me trust and not be afraid, from this day forth and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he gave them the timeless words of the Lord's Prayer. The very opening words, Our Father, are a reminder of our relationship to God as his children. As Dr. Cairns is showing, as sons of God through Christ, we not only receive rich endowments, but also we have certain obligations to the Lord of heaven and earth. Among these are gratitude and holiness. Also, we are to honor the Lord in every area of our lives. Finally, we owe to him that godly fear which treats him with the awe-filled reverence which is his due. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message entitled, The Privileges and Obligations of the Sons of God.
His thing is always to make us partakers of God's holiness. The mark of sonship. Paul went on in Hebrews 12 to say, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We're not chastened, corrected. We're not sons. And then, of course, the Lord enriches us beyond all comprehension. I love the words of 1 Peter. I trust that there are many people here who can quote them off by heart. After all, we did spend a long time in 1 Peter a few years ago. But in the opening chapter of that first epistle, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. My, what riches God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we were reading this morning in Romans chapter 8 about the present glorious liberty of the sons of God, and then of the mighty future blessing, what Paul goes on to call the redemption of the body, the future blessing of the sons of God. Now, these are the things with which our Father has endowed us. When we come to pray, we must not allow circumstances to close our eyes to the fact of what it means that God is our Father. We must not allow things to come between us and our Father. The more you enjoy these things, the more you recognize these things, then the more you'll be able to deal with the hardships of life. What gives a Christian, what enables a Christian to deal with the real hard passages of life? What does it? What gives you the strength to keep going when every circumstance calls upon you to quit? When every bone in your body aches, as it were, and you want to quit? When mentally and emotionally you're drained, what gives you the strength to go on? Now, you need to learn this, because let me tell you, that experience comes to every man. Sometimes when you're young, you know, although more and more young people are falling into this at an early stage in life, but sometimes when you're young, you imagine, well, that'll never happen to me. But believe me, sooner rather than later, there comes the time when you will feel yourself just emptied of everything that would naturally give you the strength to go on. What then will enable you? Peter deals with it in chapter 1 of his epistle in verse 6. Having just spoken of all those blessings that we have in Christ in verses 3 and 4 and 5, he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. You are in extreme mental and emotional oppression and depression. You are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials. Remember a fellow saying to me, well, how can those two things be true? How can you on the one hand be under such emotional and mental distress that it's great heaviness through constant manifold temptations and trials? How can that be true while at the same time he says you're rejoicing? To that man, one contradicted the other, but one doesn't contradict the other. If it weren't for the first part, you would drown in that ocean of troubles. What keeps you afloat? What gives you the strength to go on? What indeed gives you the willingness and the desire to go on? Now, there'll be a whole lot of people who will tell you that you just screw up your courage, that this will be the test of your character. Now, if you want to depend on your character, you just go your way, but you'll fall flat on your face, for your character at the end of the day, as far as spiritual things go, your character must be the result of what God does. It's not going to be the cause of any great blessing or strength within you. Let me tell you, there's only one thing will keep you going, and that is an ability to recognize what you have from your Father, and to allow the fullness of the blessing of being able to address God as our Father to fill your heart, so that in the midst of that time, when perhaps you can't even put a prayer together, in the midst of that time when you're so under the weather that you can't pray any great petitions or make any high-sounding phrases, but you can come to God and honestly open up your heart and cry, Our Father, with all that it means, and allow from heaven that stream of light and blessing to come into your heart, so that you begin to look beyond the oppressive circumstances and you begin to exult in the heavenly realities of God being your Father. It's then when you're able to do that, that no heaviness, no temptation will be able to defeat you. We are, thank God, a people richly endowed. But of course, with every privilege, there comes a responsibility. When we pray Our Father, what are we saying? We're saying, Thou art our Father, we are Thy sons, we are Thy children. And if God is our Father, then there are some things that the Scripture teaches we should never forget. And we must recognize these filial duties. I'm only going to list them for the sake of time this morning. But let me make this clear. If God is our Father and we come praying Our Father, then first we should be a people who show true gratitude. Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Even in the human realm, there is nothing that we hate to see more than a selfish, grasping child who has been spoiled by parents who simply give and give and give, and the little fellow comes along, he just grasps and walks away, and there's not a thought of thanks in his heart, not a word of thanks in his mouth. It's hateful to see in life, and it's just as obnoxious among the people of God. Yet is it not what we do constantly? We pray, we ask, and when the answer comes, we hardly bother to return thanks. Often we say to the Lord, we will be careful to return to Thee the honor and the glory. But when the time comes, we have forgotten all about that. If we say, Our Father, we must have a spirit of gratitude. Second, if we can say Our Father, we must flee sin and follow righteousness. In Deuteronomy 32 verses 5 and 6 we read, They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. Their mark is not the mark of the children of God. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee? What He's saying is this. If God is your Father, then you must not corrupt yourselves. If you bear the name of God, you should bear the mark of God. If you're numbered among the sons of God, then you should live as the saints of God. We must flee sin and follow hard after righteousness. Third, if God is our Father, then we must honor Him. Malachi 1 verse 6 says, A son honoreth his father. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? Honor God. I'm not even going to go in this morning to the ways in which a Christian should honor the Lord. I think that they will be self-attesting to any Christian who knows anything of God at all, anything of His Word at all. Honor God. Greatest honor a child can pay to his parent is first a regard for the name of his parent. Second, an obedience to the will of his parent. That's how you honor God. You can work it out in the details as you come to His Word, as you come to the place of prayer, as you walk among the ungodly, as you keep the Sabbath day holy. These are all ways in which you can glorify the name of your Father and seek to obey His explicit and His plain commandments. And then, of course, if we honor God because He's our Father, we must spend our lives in godly fear. There are too many Christians who imagine that fear and love are mutually exclusive, that if you love the Lord, you don't fear Him, and if you fear Him, you don't love Him, and fear is something inferior. I would say if you don't fear the Lord, you don't love the Lord. Don't have an idea of what loving the Lord is, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You do not know anything of fellowship and love unless you know the fear of God. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 1:17. If ye call on the Father, now stop for a moment. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus is talking about? When ye pray, say, Our Father. Isn't that what He's talking about? If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. A godly fear, that mighty reverential awe. It's what I said a few minutes ago, being able to call God Abba, Father, is by no means this inane and worldly approach to God that would dismiss His greatness. This is the very opposite of what the Scripture teaches. When we call God Abba, Father, we should come to Him recognizing who our Father is. He's the God of glory. Angels veil their face and cover their feet in His presence. Heaven and earth await His command. He is the Almighty. The names of God, very interesting study in themselves, show us a God. The very idea of the very first name given to God in Scripture is the idea of Him who is to be feared. The One who is so great, so majestic, so holy, so powerful, that we should fear Him. It's not the slavish dread of a tyrant, but it is the reverential awe of a child of the King. Our Father. To most people, it's just an empty phrase. Something they say without thought, something they have learned to say from childhood, and yet it's the deepest expression that we can make to God in prayer. As we come to pray, let's ponder its glorious significance. And you will find, if you pray these words of this Lord's Prayer in this sense and in this manner, that they will often lead you into a deep and sweet and powerful communion with God. They will teach you how to pray with confidence and how to pray with power, once you fully, thoroughly recognize what it means to pray Our Father. May God teach us the privileges and the obligations that we enjoy as the sons of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.